Good morning. Today's daf is daf Samach Hey. Thank you very much for coming and for learning together. We learned yesterday a very lengthy Mishnah, which went through the details of the service of the Olas Ha'Of. We learned yesterday that the Olas Ha'Of could either be from one of two birds, a tor or a ben yonah. Tor is a more mature bird, a ben yonah is a very young bird, different types of birds. And we learned how was the Olas Ha'Of performed. The Kohen would walk up the ramp, right away turn off to the right, and get to the southeastern corner. There at the southeastern corner, the Kohen would do Malika. Malika is different than Shechita. Normally, the way to slaughter an animal or a chicken is to have a knife, to slide the knife back and forth across the two pipes, the windpipe and the food pipe. But with Malika in the Karban, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen has to grow his right thumbnail very long. And then he actually is holding the bird between his fingers. He has the wings between two fingers, the legs between another two fingers, and then the head bent down into his palm. And either with this right thumb or everything in one hand or with the other, or it's all in the left hand, and using the right thumb, he severs the back of the neck. He cuts through the spinal cord, and the two pipes. And And in the Olas Ha'Of, he actually severs entirely. He then goes around and around with the thumbnail to totally sever the head. So the head of the Olas Ha'Of is severed from the body of the pigeon. And then he squeezes the blood from the head as well as from the body onto the wall of the Mizbeach. This is all above the Chota Sikra. This is on the southeastern corner, standing on the Sovev. And he takes the head of the bird. He walks all the way around. And he puts salt on it. And he throws it into the Ma'aracha Gedola, into the big fire. Then he comes all the way back around. He takes the body of the bird. He cuts out from, opposite the crop and the gizzard, cuts out a circle of skin with the feathers on it, and then he extracts from the pigeon the entire digestive tract of the bird, as we learned yesterday. Birds steal, they go into people's property, they eat from other people who are not their owners, their food. Hashem doesn't want these stolen, this part of the bird that's filled with stolen stuff on his Mizbeach. He doesn't want to eat from it. He doesn't want such an offering, doesn't want such a gift. So the inside, the entire digestive system of the bird is pulled out. And he throws them. The Kohen, standing on the Sovev, throws. He has to be like a good quarterback or a great pitcher. He has to throw at a great length this light item, the skin with some feathers and the digestive system. Throws it to a pile called the Beis HaDeshen. The Beis HaDeshen is the spot next to the Mizbeach where the ashes of the Mizbeach are put every morning. The ashes of the golden altar are placed, the cleaned out stuff of the menorah is placed. So all of that is, he throws it to that spot, according to the safe, According to the Mizrahi, we mentioned yesterday, there is a miracle there, and the ground there itself used to swallow up what was placed there. The ashes would melt into the earth. The insides of the bird, Olas Ha'Of, would melt into the earth. Then he would take the body of the Olas Ha'Of, turn it around, and from the two wings he would crack it open, not fully severing it, but he would crack it. If he did fully sever it, it was also okay. And he would walk this body up to the top of the Mizbeach, put salt on it, go to the Ma'arach HaGadola, the big fire, and throw it into the fire. Mishnah then says, if he didn't take out the innards to throw them on into the Beis HaDeshen, he didn't put salt on the body of the Olas Ha'Ov to throw it into the fire, didn't throw it into the fire, we'd still get kapara, because the main thing is that the blood service should be done right. Then the Mishnah says, that's true all about the Olas Ha'Ov. It's not true about the Chatas Ha'Ov. In the Chatas Ha'Ov, the Kohen would again do Malika, using his thumb, he would cut through the back of the pigeon, slicing through the spinal cord, slicing through the spine. It wasn't easy, right? It's a thumbnail. You're breaking through a spine with a thumbnail, breaking through bones. It was not an easy service. And then, you know, he would only sever one of the pipes, just the windpipe, when it would come to the Chatas Ha'Ov. And he would not sever, he would not separate the head of the Chatas Ha'Ov from the body of the Chatas Ha'Ov. So the Mishnah says, if he severs in a Chatas Ha'Ov, or if he doesn't sever in an Olas Ha'Ov, then the Karban is possible. Okay. So now let's see the Gemara. We've been through, there are many other laws in the Mishnah, but that's the part of the Mishnah we need for our Gemara. The Gemara, our sages taught us in a Braisa. What are the psukim that teach us of the service of the Olas Ha'Ov? The verse says, "V'hikrivo." I have it in my margin. "V'hikrivo kohen al mizbeach umalakas rosho v'ktira mizbecha v'nimtza damo al kira mizbeach." It says, "V'hikrivo." And the Kohen will bring it close. Ma Talmud Lomar, why was it necessary to say, V'yikrivu HaKohen al HaMizbeach? The verse had already said, V'yikriv Menat Torim. Could have just said, if he's bringing from the birds, from Umalak, and let him sever the head. Why V'yikrivu HaKohen? Answers like this. L'fish and Amra, since the verse had said, V'yikriv Menat Torim, Umim B'nei Ayonah, and he will bring from the pigeons or the turtle doves. So it's there in the plural tense. Torim and Bnei Yonah. So Yachlam is Nadevof Lo Yifchos Mishnei Pridim. I might think that any time you want to donate birds, you need to give at least two. You can't donate a single bird. Tamalom V'yikrivo. That's what the verse says in the singular tense. And he will bring it. You could even bring a single bird. Afilu Preda Achas Yavi Al HaMizbeach. Even a single bird he can bring to the Mizbeach. Okay. Ma Tamalom HaKohen. Why does it say V'yikrivo HaKohen? All the service is done by the Kohen. Why say V'yikrivo HaKohen? The answer is likvolo kohen, to say that the kohen is needed for the malika. We saw the other day on Friday, Roger asked us if malika takes the place of shchita. What is shchita in an animal? Malika is in a bird. So then why is it that a non-kohen can't do malika? And only a kohen can do malika. So now we see the answer. It's based on a pasuk. The Torah says, vikrivoa kohen. That's to say you need a kohen. Because you might have thought that you don't need a kohen for malika. You might have thought that anybody could do the malika. And you would have said by logic that anyone should be able to do the malika. Say, what's the logic? Like this. Think about an animal, a chatas, which is a sheep, a chatas, which is an animal. It has to be in the north. And yet, lo kavo lo kohen, there are laws, there are details. Hashem is makbid, Hashem is particular. What's going to go on with this animal? It's got to be in the north. And yet, even though it has to be slaughtered in the north, you don't need a kohen to do the slaughtering. Anybody can do the slaughtering. Oh, shlo kavalot tzafon. So here where you have a bird. It doesn't have to be in the north. As we learned yesterday, the malika can happen anywhere on the Mizbeach. It doesn't have to be only on the northern side. So, you know, din shlo yikvalo kohen, so certainly you wouldn't need a kohen. Tamalomar, that's what the verse says, V'ikrivo ha-kohen. The kohen has to bring it close. V'kvo ha-lo-kohen. You need a kohen for the service. Yachrim l'kenu b'sadikin. Maybe Malika should be with a knife. I mean, why do we say that Malika is with the thumb of the kohen, severing from the back, the spinal cord, and the spine, and the pipe, and maybe both pipes, and going all, and then with this, with the thumbnail going around and around to make a bigger incision. Use a knife. Take a knife, and instead of slaughtering from the front, which is what you do with animals, the kohen should slaughter from the back, like Egla Rufa. He takes an axe and he chops off the back of the neck. So why is Malika with the thumb? They do. Now I'll tell you by logic it should be with a knife. I would say like this. Consider with an animal. An animal has shchita, and it doesn't need a coin to do it. Kavala kli, but nevertheless it needs a knife. So Malika shakavala coin. So Malika, which we just said, v'ikrivua kohen, requires a coin. So once the Torah is more particular with what happens with Malika than with Shechita, that should be at least as much as Shechita. It should require a knife. Talmud Lomar, that's what the verse says. Kohen u'malak. Yikrivua kohen al mizbeach u'malak es rosho. So it's saying that the Kohen himself is the one doing the Malika. Without a knife.
When do you think the thumbnail's the chumra? Like the knife's the easier way to wear.
Right, I guess. But maybe not, maybe because when you have a knife, it's more of a cliché race. There's the consecrating through a holy vessel, which you don't necessarily have with a thumbnail.
Right.
Why would you think that that anyone could be able to do Malika? I mean, Malika requires you to have your nail in a certain way. It's not like shechita where anyone can have a shechita knife as long as it's prepared properly. No one's preparing their nails for the purposes of doing.
If people had the option, people would. People would be excited to do the service.
It's a good business. Very hard to do.
Yeah, it's not so easy.
It also seems to me that just the concept of how you hold the bird is so complicated that wouldn't be the type of thing given. But Malika plus the way you have to hold the bird is something that no one could do except for Kohen who had been trained to do it.
Apparently not. I mean, people would be excited to do the mitzvah. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, V'chivtal al-datcha, are you going to think Shazar Karev L'gabi Mizbeach? That a non-Kohen is going to be able to walk on the Mizbeach and do service there? I mean, how could we have even thought that? So therefore, V'yikrivo HaKohen is not to tell me that you need a Kohen for the Malika. So why does it say Kohen? Shetehe Malika ba'atzmo shel Kohen. You need the Malika to be done with the Kohen's body himself. That's how you can't use a knife. So again, the Gemara had said, maybe I would say the same way you need a knife for Shechita. You need a knife for Malika. So the answer is, it says, V'ikrivo HaKohen. So as Rabbi Akiva says, if it says V'ikrivo HaKohen, we've been saying till now, V'ikrivo HaKohen is that you need a coin for the service. But of course you need a coin for the service. Because it's on the Mizbeach. So why is it saying V'ikrivo HaKohen? The coin's body himself is what's doing the service, is doing the Malika. Okay. Maybe the Malika could happen both above the Chutas Sikra or beneath the Chutas Sikra. That's why it says Umalak is Rosho, and then right afterwards V'iktir HaMizbecha. So it links Malika to the throwing into the fires. Maktar Rosho Mizbeach, just like the throwing into the fires is on the top of the Mizbeach. It's certainly not beneath the Chutas Sikra. Malika Barosha Mizbeach, so the Malika is happening above the Chutas Sikra, towards the top of the Mizbeach. The verse says, Ve'evio Sama la Kohen, Ve'ekrivis Asher la Chatos Rishono, Malakis Rosho Mimula Arpo V'lo Yavdil. It says, Umalakis Rosho Mimula Arpo. So Umalak, that means Mimul Oref. that the incision is here in the back of the neck, opposite the oref. The oref is this part, the back of the head. Oref, you're saying in the back of the neck. Maybe the malika should happen on the neck from the front. And I would tell you that there is logic to say that. It says over here, and he is to do malika. And it says, just like there it's explicitly that it has to be opposite the by the back of the neck of Kamimul Oref. Maybe I would say, just like in Chatas, Molik Veino Mavdil, he severs but he doesn't detach the head. Afkan Molik Veino Mavdil, so maybe in Ola Sof also, he cuts through but he doesn't detach the head. Tamaloma, that's what the verse says back in Ola Sof, the first verse. Just like in throwing into the fires of the Ola, the head is thrown separately and the body is thrown separately. So to the Malika of the Ola, the head is severed entirely, and the body left by itself. How do we know that in regards to throwing it into the fire, the head is thrown in separately, and the body of the Ola Sof are thrown in separately? Shenamar, because the verse says, "V'yiktiro so," and he will offer it. It says, "V'shisao so," he'll crack it open with its wings and not detach. "V'yiktiro so," and he'll offer it. So, "Hariyaktara saguva mura." So that means that's the offering of the body. "Hamani miktayim." So what was I fulfilling earlier with the phrase "Viktira Mizbecha"? That's Baktar Sarosha Kosamidaber. That's separately the throwing into the fire of the head of the bird. So you see that there is a separate head of the bird plus the body of the bird, and each are thrown separately into the fire with the Ola Sof. The verse, again, going back to that first verse, "Vikrivoa Kohen Ala Mizbech, Malakas Rosho, Viktira Mizbecha." Now the end of that verse, "V'nimtza damo k'ar mizbeach," "V'nimtza damo," and he will squeeze out the blood. That's telling you damo kulo, all of the blood has to be squeezed out. It doesn't say midamo, he'll squeeze out some of the blood. It says "V'nimtza damo," he'll squeeze out the blood. All of the blood has to be squeezed onto the mizbeach. "El k'ar mizbeach," it says to on the, actually "al k'ar mizbeach," it says on the wall of the altar. That means v'lo'al kira kevesh, it can't be on the wall of the ramp. V'lo'al kira echal, and not on the wall of the temple building. Ezo zeh, which wall? Zekira elyon, that's the wall over the sovev, the top wall. Oeinu elo kira tachto, maybe it refers to the lower wall, the wall underneath the chuta sikra. Edinu, and I can tell you by logic, here, a chatas of an animal, the blood goes above the chutas sikra, it goes on each corner. Nevertheless, olasa, the ola of an animal is lamatas, underneath the chutas sikra. Oaf, so we deal with birds, shechatas olamata, where the chatas is beneath the chutas sikra. Enodincho, olasa olamata, so certainly the ola should be beneath the chutas sikra. Tamalama, that's what we saw before. Umalak v'hiktir, he'll do the malika, and that's compared to where he does the haktara, and that's then compared to the next thing, v'nimtza damo, that's compared to the squeezing of the blood. The squeezing of the blood has to be like the haktara, it has to be like the malika, it has to be above the chuta sikra. So the Gemara says, listen to the verse, right? Umalak v'hiktir, right? Malak means he will sever. The hiktir means he'll throw it into the fire, and then v'nimtza damo, then he'll squeeze the blood. Doesn't make sense. Once it's thrown into the fire, you can't squeeze the blood. It's already been burned. So v'chital al datcha, can you even imagine? La'acha shehiktir, after he offered it into the fire, chozer mamatzi, he's then going to go squeeze the blood. So what's the point? The point is for a hakesh. Lo melachatz, it's like this. Ma'aktar b'rosham is be'ach, just like we said, just like the offering into the fire is on the head, on the top of the mizbeach. So too, the malikas on the top of the mizbeach. And just like the Akhtar, just like the throwing into the fires on the top of the Mizbeach, Afmitzu Birosh on Mizbeach, so to the squeezing of the blood is on the top of the Mizbeach, above the dividing line. HaKetzet, so what would he do? Ayola Bekevesh, he would walk up the ramp, Upona Lusovit, right away turn to the right, to the ledge, to the southeastern corner. Ubalul Karendrobus Mizrachis, he would get to the southeastern corner. Hayamolikus Roshamimul Arpa. Then with his Olasaov, he would take his right thumbnail. With his right thumbnail, he would sever the head, cutting in from the back. Umavdil, and he would then separate the head entirely from the body of the bird. Then he would squeeze its blood onto the wool of the Mizbeach. Now, he's standing on the ledge. If he squeezes the blood underneath his feet, literally, right, he's on the ledge, so he'd be right beneath the ledge. Afilu ama, even one ama down, shera. It's kasha. Rabbi Nechem and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov disagree. Rabbi Nechem and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say, "Kol atzmei nenasis el berosh hamizbeach." The carbon has to be done. The olas sovah has to be done on the top of the mizbeach, namely above the chatas sikra. He's standing on the sovah. He can't go underneath his feet. Abayi, what's the difference? So Abayi v'Rava, Dami Chavai, Abayi and Rava explain the argument. Osem arach al gabe sovah vika beinayim. The question is, Bidiyeved, can Kohanim make fires on the ledge, on the Sovev, and would that be an okay spot for Haktara, for the throwing of the pieces into? According to the view that he can put the blood underneath his feet, it's because where he's standing on the ledge, that spot itself, he can make fires there. So since he can make fires there, so putting the blood beneath that spot is no different than putting the blood, you know, closer to the corner. Closer to the corner also, it's beneath the spot where the fires are. And the view that says, no, he can't put the blood beneath his feet because the ledge where he's standing is not suitable to have a fire. So then if he puts the blood beneath his feet, he's putting the blood beneath the sovev. It's not berosh ha-mizbeach. It's not at the top of the mizbeach. It's not considered the top of the mizbeach. It's considered chetz yoshel mizbeach. It wouldn't be good. So these are the sources for many of the laws of the Ola Asof. The Mishnah continued. The Mishnah taught. After he would throw the head into the fire, he'd come back to the southeastern corner. And when he would come back to the southeastern corner, you pick up again the body of the bird, and he would cut out a hole opposite where the digestive tract is. You pull out the food pipe, the crop, the gizzard, the whole stuff, the dachin, the zefek, the korkov on the dachin. You pull out the whole digestive tract, and then he would throw it to the Beit HaDeshem. So, Tanya Rabbanan looked at the Braisa. The verse says, Ve'esirit mora aso benotzo sa. What is mora aso? Mora aso zozefek. That's what we call the crop. It's called mora because it has stuff of food in it. Re'i. Yachol yaktir besakin v'yitlenu. Maybe he should just cut open with a knife. And then just take the digestive tract without the skin and the feathers. That's what it says, with its feathers. He takes the feathers with it. Abba Yossi ben Chanan, Omer Abba Yossi ben Chanan says that he has another explanation. He doesn't think notzasa means feathers. He says, notla, he takes the digestive tract, Vinotel kur kavana ima, and he has to take not just the crop, but also, what else do they say? What do they call it?
The gizzard
and the intestines, and that's called notzasa. Because notza means something disgusting. So these things, the kurkavan, they're disgusting. They're also taken out of the bird. In the base medrash of Rabbi Yishmael, they taught the following. Benotza is benotza shala. Just with its feather. He doesn't take more than the skin and this feather. Kodra besakin. He cuts around with a knife. Kimin aruba, like a round trapdoor. And he takes out that skin, that feather, and the crop, gizzard, and intestines. Then the Mishnah said, Samachem at base. He then, after he takes out the crop and the intestine, and he throws it to the corner, he then tears open the back of the bird. He takes the two wings and he pulls them apart. Tears the skin, almost breaks the bird into two. Tanar Rabbanan lived in a brisa, the shisa, and he tears it in half, and shisa l'biyad. He has to do that by hand. And he will tear it. He can't use a knife to cut it in half. The verse says, and he will tear it apart, like tearing apart the goat. This is a reference to Shimshon. You know, when Shimshon found the carcass of the donkey and he tore it in half. It was a donkey or it was a lion? I forget. A lion. Right? He found a lion. Right. He found a lion. He tore it into two. So that was with his hands. Then the Mishnah said that there's a difference between Chata Sa'of and Ola Sa'of. Ola Sa'of, the head gets severed entirely by the thumb eventually. Chata Sa'of, the thumb of the Kohen cuts through the back, cuts the spinal cord, cuts one of the pipes, but doesn't sever the head. Lo hesir es hamora. If he would not remove the intestines or not cut it into two, it'd still be okay because the blood was offered. But the Mishnah said, hivdu b'chatas lo hivdu b'ola, if he severs the head of the chatas, or he doesn't sever the head of the ola, the carbon is possum. Says the Gemara, Masnis in our mission, it says that if he severs the head of the chatas, then it is possible. The lo kribel lezber b'shimon, it's not lo kribel lezber b'shimon. In other words, we have an argument of Tanaim. The Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Amr b'lezber b'shimon, b'lezber b'shimon says, Shamati shemavdilin b'chata sa'of. I heard that if you did sever the head of the chata sa'of, it's okay. It's okay. It doesn't disqualify it. So my ben ayu, what's the argument between them? So Gemara is going to go through four possibilities in terms of what's the argument. Because the bottom line is like this. The argument is, there has to be a difference between chata sa'of and ola sa'of. So what is it here? If you've severed the head of the chatas, does that mean that it's now the same as an ola sa'of? If it's the same as an ola sa'of, then it's no good. So that's going to be the argument. Possibility number one, what's the argument here about whether the severed head of a chatas does not, right? According to Belezer Rabbi Shimon, a severed head of a chatas does not disqualify it. So why? So Amar Rav Chizda explained, Mitzui chatas of ma'akev Ika b'nai. The argument here is whether the squeezing of the blood of the chatas of is an absolute requirement for the chatas of or not. Tanakama, the Tanakama says that severing the head of a chatas of would disqualify it. Kasavar mitzui chatas of ma'akiv. You need to squeeze the blood of the chatas of. So if it came in the mitzui tam, since there's a squeezing of blood, so if there's a squeezing of blood of the chatas of, and the head of the chatas of was severed, so now covered my soul of the chatas of, so now this bird looks totally like the chatas of. It had a head severed, and it had mitzui. Now the truth is there's a difference, right? Because the ola is done on the southeastern corner, up on top, on the sovev. The chatas of is done in the southwestern corner, down below. But, at least in terms of the avodos look the same. And therefore, it's possible. However, Blaz Rabbi Shimon Savar, mitzui chatas of lo ma'akev. You don't need to squeeze the blood of the chatas of. So therefore, if he made a mistake, and in the chatas of he severed the head, okay, so now don't squeeze the blood. So now it will certainly not look like an ola, because the ola needs blood placed on the mizbeach. Here it's not going to have blood, and therefore it would be okay. And once it doesn't look and he didn't squeeze the blood on the wall. So the fact that he cut too much, okay, machatich basa ba'amal, it's like he was cutting through meat, he's cutting some more meat, he didn't have to do it. Cut too much, but it still would be kosher. That's opinion number one in terms of what's the argument. Opinion number two. Rav Amar, Rava said, Shehiya b'simen sheni. The question is, if he hovers, if he tarries before he severs the second pipe, Ola Sof and an Ola Sof, would that make it a no longer an Ola Sof? Would that be Ma'akiv? Would that disqualify it from being an Ola Sof? We know that in regards to Shechita, if you sever one pipe and then wait, and then sever the next pipe, it's not a good Shechita. We know Malika is the parallel to Shechita. So do we say the same thing with the Malika of the bird, which is the ascent offering? That's the argument. In other words, like this, by definition, when he does the Malika Machata Sa'ov, what he's going to do is he's going to cut through the back, the spine, the spinal cord, and the first pipe. And then he's going to take a break. He's going to use the thumbnail to make an incision all around. That's a shehiya. So we're saying now he made a mistake. He went further and he went after he made the incision all around. Instead of leaving a little bit so that's still connected, he went back in with the thumb and he cut the second pipe and he cut the whole thing entirely. So Tanakama Sabra, the Tanakama holds shehiya b'simen sheni b'ola sa'ov lo ma'akev. In regards to an ola sa'ov, if he cuts in through the back, and then he waits between the first pipe and the second pipe, it's still going to be a kasher ola sa'ov. V'af agav de shehiya. So here with the chatas, he cut around all the flesh, and then he got to the second pipe. So still covered my ola b'chatas. This is still the behavior of an ola, because this would work for a kasher ola. However, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon Savar, in regards to an ola sa'ov, you can't wait. When the Kohen is putting the thumb through, he has to cut through the spine. And pipe one and pipe two right away, you can't have a break between pipe one and pipe two. Here in the case of the chatas, which was cut too much, there was a break between pipe one and pipe two. So Rabbi Elazar Savar, that in regards to ola sa'ov, having a break between pipe one and pipe two would make it not an ola sa'ov anymore, ma'akev. So here in this case, where it's Kivan de Shehiya, since he waited between pipe one and pipe two, so therefore it doesn't now look like an Ola Sa'of. It wasn't now made into an Ola Sa'of. It's Machatech Basar Ba'amu. It's cutting too much blood, cutting too much flesh. Okay, so he cut too much flesh. It's still a Kasher. Chata Sa'of. Possibility number three, what is the argument? Abaya said, no. If you would, you know, cut through, a Kohen who cuts through with his thumb, pipe one, and then wait before he does pipe two in an Ola Sof, would ruin the Ola Sof. But here the question is like this. Rov Basar Ma'akev. Would it, cutting most of the meat around the pipes, would that ruin the chatas? Ika Benayu, that is the question. According to Elazar Rabbi Shimon, since he's waiting between pipe one and pipe two to cut the majority of the flesh all around, so it's not an ola here. It's a shehiya. Why is there, by definition, a wait? Because he says that the Kohen needs to use his thumbnail to cut rov basar. Whereas according to the Tanakama, you don't need the cutting of rov basar. The Kohen doesn't need to cut most of the flesh all around the pipes. And therefore, he could actually cut through pipe one and pipe two right away without a break. And that already looks like an ola. And since it looks like an ola, it's a disqualified chatas. And even if he didn't actually do this, even if he cut through pipe one and then he used the thumb to go around and around cutting all the flesh, and there was a break before he cut pipe two and he severed the head, still it should be no good because of a gzeira. If we say that this could be okay as a chatas, maybe next time it'll actually be ma'ase ola, like the ola. Ubeplukta Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Shmuel bar of Yitzchak. This is the same argument that we have between Rabbi Zeir and Rabbi Shmuel bar of Yitzchak. Chad amar shiya besimin sheni ba'ola sof ma'ake vika benayu. One said the argument between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon is whether Ola Sa'of gets ruined by pausing between pipe one and pipe two. The Chadamer once said the argument is whether Rov Basar Ma'akev Yikra Be'nai, whether in Chata Sa'of you need cutting the majority of the flesh. Michlal, so everybody apparently agrees to be in Rov Basar Tchila, that Lechat Tchila in the ideal instance, when the Kohen uses his thumb to sever the pipes and the spine, he should go around most of the flesh too. That's in fact correct. V'hatanya, as we learned in a brisa. Ketzan molkin chatasof. What's the ideal way to do the malika, the cutting of the head of the chatasof? Chotech shidra umafrekes, with the thumbnail, he cuts through the spine, the spinal cord, and the mafrekes, and the spine bones. Below rov basar, with not yet having cut most of the flesh, ad shemagia lavesh et olakana, until he gets to one of the pipes, the food pipe or the windpipe. Yigia lavesh et olakana, when he gets to one of those pipes, Chotech Simen Echad, he cuts one of them, Orubo, or the majority of one, and then Verov Basar Imo, and he cuts the majority of the flesh around, and that is the service of Chata Sa'of. Uba'ola, in the Ola Sa'of, he has to cut Shnayim, both pipes, Orov Shnayim, or the majority of both pipes. You see in this Braisa that Lechatchila, he's supposed to cut the majority of the basar, the majority of the flesh, around the chatas ha'of. Okay, so we can stop here. Be'ezus Hashem will continue at this point tomorrow. I just want to share a thought that I saw. I didn't get a chance to talk about it yesterday. People have been asking, what's the significance of these different acts of service? An animal gets slaughtered with a knife, a bird seems much more violent, the thumbnail cutting through. So Rabbi's basic line is, this is what Hashem commanded. But Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, in his commentary to Vayikra, he tries to give perhaps symbolic lessons in all of these different karbanos. So he suggests that there's a difference between chatas behema and chatas ha'ov, or olas behema and olas ha'ov. He says a bird throughout our scripture represents distress. David HaMelech talks about, you know, running away from enemies, caught in a trap, like a bird running from the hunters. So he thinks that there's a difference between the offerings of birds and the offerings of animals. The offering of an animal is not a symbol of distress. So it's that I'm neglecting my duties, that would be an ola. I am, you know, actually doing the wrong thing, that would be a chatas. So the idea of an animal is I need to redirect myself. I need to recommit myself. Blood should now again be devoted to Dama Nefesh. I should be devoted to Hashem. But a bird is a symbol of distress. It's a symbol of going through tsaros, going through tremendous tragedies. When a person's going through distress, the distress itself is an offering to Hashem. So that's why the bird, the service of the bird, is so much more violent. It's with a fingernail and cutting it in half with the hands. It's very, very gruesome. Saying that all these moments of distress that I have in my life, I'm giving it all to Hashem. That's all my carbon to Hashem. All of the blood goes to Hashem. I'm reaching out to Hashem. I'm devoting myself to Hashem. And that should be the kapara, that should be the atonement for my various misdeeds.
If that's the case, Rabbi, why is it only the Kohen who does it? We can't do it because we're feeling that stress. Not only the Kohen.
I think that even the stress itself is service.
How does that explain the sliding scale offering? Huh? Where you can give a bird in place of giving an animal, that would kind of go contrary to that.
Good point.
Sure. Good question.
Anyway, but that's just an idea, just to give a little bit of a taste of a perspective on some of these questions.